The Pulse on CJMQ.
Are you heading out for a cruise? Lying there for a snooze?
The Pulse on CJMQ.
You're listening to The Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Today's show features two stories about people quietly strengthening their communities. We begin in BB at the Centre de Livres Déjà Lu, a volunteer-run used bookstore that's been operating for more than 23 years. Since mid-2023, the shop has raised more than $20,000 by selling donated books, with every dollar going back to local food banks, schools, seniors' residences, and other community organizations. I spoke on December 20th with longtime organizer Raymond Fluitt and volunteers about how the bookstore works and why it continues to thrive. Then we turned to the Tomophobia Nature Trail, the 19-kilometer route from Ayerscliff to Stanstead, which has now been transferred to the Massawippi Conservation Trust. I speak with Executive Director Helene Hamel about what the transfer means for trail users and how it fits into a series of land protection agreements finalized this December. Today's program is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today on the Pulse of the Eastern Townships here on CJMQ 88.9 FM, we're heading to a small secondhand bookstore in BB that's been quietly doing big things for the local community for more than two decades. Tucked inside a modest space and run entirely by volunteers, the Centre de Livres Déjà Lu bookstore sells donated books for just a few dollars and then gives every cent right back to the community. Since the mid-2023 alone, the store has generated more than $20,000 in sales, with thousands of dollars donated to food banks, seniors' residences, schools, camps, medical foundations, and other community programs across the Eastern Townships. I sat down on December 20th inside the bookstore with longtime organizer Raymond Fluet and volunteers Jim Thompson, Jennifer Thompson, and Betty Hall to talk about how the bookstore began as a Boundary Rotary Club project, how it has survived for 23 years, and why it remains entirely volunteer-run. We also talk about what kinds of books people are looking for, how donations are handled, how often money is given back to the community, and why something as simple as selling used books can still have a real local impact. This segment of the Pulse of the Eastern Townships is supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, which funds original civic journalism in communities across Canada. Here's my conversation from BB with volunteers behind one of the region's quiet community success stories. So, Mr. Fluitt, how did the bookstore start?
Basically, it was the Rotary Club, the Boundary Rotary Club, that were looking for a project to make money. And they decided that they were going to sell books, secondhand books, pre-read books. And I had the area that was empty, and I just let the Rotary Club have it, and I basically sponsor it for the last 23 years.
Is this the kind of thing the Rotary Club normally does?
Rotary Club basically is an organization that raises money for different projects throughout the world, because the Rotary Club is worldwide. They raise money to do all kinds of projects. They have student loans, students that go out throughout the world for a period of a year, and they do water projects in Africa, and they do water projects in South America. Their Rotary is very up to date on helping out people throughout the world. They also have a box program where they have boxes, and in the box there's everything a family of 10 need in emergency. And they have boxes scattered all over the world. And if they need boxes for an account of floods and stuff like that, they're right within reach, they take them, put it on the lot somewhere, and everything's in there for 10 people.
So this bookstore has been saving money up for about 2 years, did you say?
Well, we've been here for 23 years, approximately. Originally, it was done through the Boundary Rotary Club. But due to a lack of membership, we had to part with the Rotary Club and do it on our own. We are ex-Rotarians. So we just sell books. People bring in books, and we sell them back out at $2 and $1, and some of them $5, to raise money for the local community. All the money that is people spend here at the store is returned to the community.
How are the recipients chosen? Do you look them up? Do they apply? How does it work?
Well, we kept a certain number of them that we did through the Rotary Club. And the members suggested that we basically donate to this and that organization. And this originally started was basically for children, like the children's camp in Maswippi, the children's camp at Quebec Lodge, and we sponsored also the soccer team in Aircliff, which have about 400 to 500 kids play in there every summer. And as I say, all the money is returned locally.
So what's next? You saved up money for 2 years. You passed it out. Will you just do it again?
It won't be 2 years before we pass out some more money. We'll pass it out most likely in June, July, August of next summer.
Okay, so it's a pretty quick turnaround then.
Our average sales are about around three and a quarter per opening. We sell for approximately $6,500 worth of books throughout a year.
Jim Thompson then mentioned that one of the main things the Rotary Club has done is raise millions to cure polio. Then Raymond Fluitt reaffirmed that everyone was a volunteer and started talking a little bit more about the bookstore itself. They sell both English and French books.
85% English, 15% French. We draw people from this Scotchtown or over in that area.
Sure, Quaticook.
Quaticook, Dixville. One time we were drawing from Richmond. We draw from Waterloo across the lake. But we haven't done much for publicity. And this is why when Brian Warry came up with this, oh, well, maybe we should do more publicity, you know. So you came, and we're both going to get the record. There was a lady who came here today. She was from St. Catherine de Hartley. Oh, well taken up. And then we have one person that comes, but he comes basically commercial from Toronto. And he comes in here and buys $150, $175 worth of books every 3-4 months. And he takes them back to Toronto because I think he might have a bookstore in Toronto.
People who want to donate books can drop them off at the bookstore at any time.
I live just next door. And when I drive by and there's books dragging outdoors here, I stop and bring them in. So there's always, you know, sometimes I have just a few bags of books, and sometimes I have 10 boxes, 12 boxes. And when they're too heavy, I get my grandson to come down and take them.
Good.
Put him to work.
So tell me a little bit more about you volunteers.
Yeah. For a decade.
I've been in Rotary for 65 years.
But when the girls first came to the bookstore, we reorganized everything. It was just a mess in here.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
They reorganized everything.
Yeah.
And Betty and...
And we when we started, it was messier. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And people were bringing in a lot of old books, and it smelled
right,
mildew and stuff like that.
Right.
And since Jennifer and Betty are here, the bookstore is a lot cleaner.
Good.
And it's more
organized.
And a lot of the decorations that are on the top shelf and around and the front here are some of Jennifer and Betty's own personal stuff that they bring here just to show it off or stuff like that, you know.
Great, fantastic.
And it puts a little more ambiance in the place.
And what kind of books are you guys typically looking for?
Novels, recent novels. It's probably easier to say what we don't really want. What we don't want at all is like VHS tapes, cassette tapes, CDs, magazines, school books, textbooks, encyclopedias.
Okay, so soft cover, hard cover, no VHS, no records. What do you guys sell most?
We have a special section when we get township books, and we separate them and put them in the front for people to really notice that, and they kind of go there first now that they know that's what we do. And we have a lot of a romance section there that goes like crazy. It's hard to keep up with. And
I'd say it's basically novels.
Novels. Yeah.
Children's books don't pull very much, unfortunately, but.
Are you doing anything special for Christmas?
This is our last sale before Christmas. We each go our own way, and maybe we'll try to do a little more advertising, you know, throughout the winter months and spring to bring our average sales up to 400 or something like that. You know, would be that much more to take care of for the local community to have.
They then told me that the bookstore is open the first and third Saturday of every month from 9 a.m. until noon.
And we do have a list of people. Do you have the novel by it? So if we don't, we make a note on when it comes in. If it comes in, we call them. They can give us their list if they want.
That was Raymond Fluet and volunteers from the Centre de Livres Déjà Lu bookstore in BB speaking with the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. The volunteer-run bookstore is open year-round on the first and third Saturdays of each month from 9 until noon. Most books sell for $1 or $2, and all proceeds are returned directly to local community organizations, with donations typically distributed several times a year. If you have gently used novels, especially recent titles, romance, or books connected to the Eastern Townships, volunteers say those are always in demand. This segment was produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative, helping bring local stories like this to air and online. You can find more reporting focused on the people and projects that keep our communities running at cgmqnews.com and hear new segments regularly right here on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. One of the Eastern Township's most familiar outdoor spaces is entering a new chapter. The Tomophobia Nature Trail, a 19-kilometer, year-round, multi-use trail stretching from Ayers Cliff to Stanstead, has officially been transferred to the Massawippi Conservation Trust, securing its long-term protection and maintenance. But that transfer is only part of a much bigger story. In a single week this December, the Trust finalized three separate land protection agreements, including a major conservation servitude in the Coaticook area and a land donation in North Hadley aimed at improving safety and access for young children and families. In this segment, I speak with Helene Hamel, Executive Director of the Massawippi Conservation Trust, about what the Tomophobia transfer actually means for the public, how conservation servitudes work, and why these agreements represent years of behind-the-scenes effort coming together at once. This interview was produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, which helps ensure important local stories like this one continue to be told. Stay with us. I was under the impression the Tomophobia Trail was the big story here, but there's other news too. Tell me about that, Ms. Hamel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was the big, big story. Simply because we've been you know, we've been working on getting the donation from the Tomophobia group for quite a few years. So it's also, you know, a very popular trail, so people were anxious to find out what was going on. But we also got two other pieces of land. Madame Bouchard has signed a servitude with us for over 200 acres, and that is in the Quaticook area. And then we also got a donation from the village of North Hatley, the municipality. And that was a smaller piece of land that's right behind the town hall, but it's it connects to Scowan Park, which we own in North Hatley and Caltonda Hatley. So it's an important piece.
Tell me a little bit about the Tomophobia Trail first. That goes from Ayerscliff to Stanstead, right?
Ayerscliff to Stanstead. So there's many, many, many parcels of land. The trail was a former railway, right? So the trail is, that land was bought from CP Rail by the founders of the Tomophobia Nature Trail back in the early 1990s, 1990 and 1993. They bought all the little parcels of land from CP Rail, and their goal was to create this green linear park with a multi-purpose trail on it. So it's been open since 1993, and it's open year-round, it's open to the public, it's free. And what's different from the trails we own now is this trail you can ride your bike on.
For people who don't know, them transferring the land to you means what precisely?
Well, in fact, it won't make much difference to the general public. What it does is that it ensures the protection of the land and the continuity of the trail, because we have two very, very generous donors who together have given us $1 million for an endowment fund. An endowment fund is basically, it's a sum of money that is set aside and is protected. We can't draw from the capital, but we get the interest, the annual interest off of this fund. So if on the $1 million we just get 5% interest, we're going to get $50,000 a year. And we're going to be able to use that money to keep the trail in constant repair. Because there are many, many culverts. And it's 19 kilometers, so it needs to be maintained. You know, who knows what will happen in the future. There could be washouts, there could be this, there could be that. And, you know, keeping up the signage and, so that's the big news. So we're able to fund the trail. The first group, you know, the founders, some of the original founders were still on the board 30 years later. So, you know, they've gotten older and, you know, they realized that they couldn't keep up the work anymore. And they were looking for a new person, a new group to take it over. And we were the ones they decided to give it to. So we're a trust, and we are going to protect the land in perpetuity, and we have an agreement with them to maintain the trail and to keep it open and not to sell any part of it or not to close it or keep it going.
Tell me a little bit about these other parcels of land. Quaticook is a little bit outside of your area, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, like generally, there's no real boundaries for any of the, like, you know, we're one of 17 members of Appalachian Corridor. So Appalachian Corridor is like the overseer of all the different conservation groups that work in an area from, we're the most eastern group, and they go all the way to Granby. So, like, if Nature Conservancy or the provincial government are giving out grants, they would give it to Appalachian Corridor, who would then give it in turn to us, although we could apply it directly. But when there's big lumps of money, you know, the government doesn't give it to many, many different organizations. They give it to one sort of umbrella organization. So we have most territory, but this landowner, Madame Boussin, she didn't have anybody to protect the land in her area. So she contacted Appalachian Corridor, who said, well, the closest group to you is the Massawippi Conservation Trust. So we've been working with her and with Appalachian Corridor, and we signed her deed for servitude on Wednesday.
When something is signed into servitude, what does that amount to?
So what it means is that it's protected, that it means that there are many things that you cannot do on the property. Each servitude is signed individually with the landowner, and, you know, if, let's say, the landowner has some trails, you know, walking trails on the property, then they're allowed to keep using them. What they're probably not allowed to do is expand those trails. So, you know, we really are sort of the gatekeepers of the land. We inspect it once or twice a year to make sure that, you know, nothing is going on that shouldn't be going on. And, you know, very basic things, like you can't put up a cell phone tower, or you can't explore for, you know, do any mining work, or, you know, some very basic things like that as well. And, of course, there's a very interesting sort of financial benefit that when you protect a piece of land, you're obviously limiting the use, right? There's certain things that can no longer be done on the land. So the government allows us to issue a tax receipt for, I don't know if the right word, but it's sort of the devaluation of the land, because now you're restricting the use of the land. So the landowner will get a tax receipt.
Tell me a little bit about what you've done with North Hatley, with the town and Scowan Park.
Well, it's there's a corner of the property that the municipality has given to us, which touches a corner of the Scowan Park, and we're going to be putting in a little trail there, because there's a daycare that has started just in the same building as the town hall. And this daycare, they were walking along Capleton Road to get to the park, and it really, really wasn't safe. So, because there's no sidewalks there or anything. So it's going to allow the kids from the daycare and people in the community to access Scowan Park from another place, which will be right behind the town hall. So we're not going to build the trail necessarily in 2026, but it'll be very soon, as soon as we can.
This was a big December for you. What's on tap for you guys in 2026?
Well, 2026, between this year, so right now, you know, right now we're at about 375 acres, right? Between all those three properties. Next year, by the end of next year, we will be doubling what we had in 2024. So we have, we have more than 10 projects in the pipeline. it's just crazy, Bill, though, because each one takes so long, so long. Like Madame Bouchard, we've been working on it for 2 years, you know. The Thomophobia Nature Trail, we've been working on it for more than 2 years. So, you know, there were two more we were hoping to sign in December, but there's always a little glitch. There's always a little something that comes up that, you know, we just can't do it right away. So, yeah, we should double by the end of next year.
That was Helene Hamel, Executive Director of the Massawippi Conservation Trust, speaking about the transfer of the Tomophobia Nature Trail and a series of new land protection agreements finalized just before the end of the year. While trail users may not notice immediate changes, the shift ensures long-term protection, stable funding for maintenance, and permanent safeguards for hundreds of acres of land across the region, part of a broader conservation strategy that continues to expand throughout the Massawippi Valley and beyond. You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. This segment was made possible with support from the Local Journalism Initiative, which funds original, independent local reporting across Canada. I'm William Crooks, and thanks for listening. That was the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. Today we heard from volunteers behind the Centre de Livres Déjà Lu in Beebe and from the Massawippi Conservation Trust about the transfer of the Tomophobia Nature Trail and new land protection agreements across the region. For more stories like these, check out cgmqnews.com. This program was produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative, which helps fund original local journalism across Canada. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening. And always remember, keep that finger on the pulse. The pulse. The pulse. The pulse. Township interviews. Don't forget breaking news. The pulse, the pulse, the pulse on CJMQ. Are you heading out for a cruise? Lying there for a snooze? The pulse, the pulse, the pulse on CJMQ. Hey, I know that guy. Hey, I know that gal too. The pulse, the pulse, the pulse on CJMQ. The townships are the pulse, 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 the pulse of the Eastern Town.